Praise the Lord. Message number 25. The title of the message, Warnings from Israel's History. Let's open our Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 1 to 13. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warning for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. Thank you, Lord, you give us opportunity to read your word and hear the message and listen to your instructions and guidance. Thank you, Lord, because you always remember us and reminding us and teaching us and never give up to warn us so that we'll be taught and corrected and walk faithfully, carefully, steadfastly in your ways. Lord, I pray you anoint my lips and arrange the message in the way that you want it to be. I pray that the message will bring warning, salvation, repentance, deliverance, clear way of life, and a true devotion unto you, Lord. I pray that many of those who hear the message, Lord, they will devote their heart unto you, Lord. They will set their heart to honor you in their life. Lord, take the message and make it spread and make it reach those who are waiting to hear your word. Prime the heart of the people. Prepare them to receive the message. We thank you and we praise you, Father. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Israelites, when they were in Egypt, they were oppressed. They cried out to God. The Lord raised up Moses and he sent him to them. And God did a lot of miracles, miraculous signs he did in front of the Egyptian and Pharaoh. And the Lord brought his people victoriously out of Egypt. He struck the firstborn of all the Egyptians, even Pharaoh's firstborn he killed by the destroying angel. And he took his people out. And when Pharaoh and his army pursued them, the Lord opened the Red Sea. The people of God, his people, they passed through dry land on a dry ground. And when the army of Pharaoh passed through the sea, he brought the water over them and he swept them all away, and all of them died. God then had great miracle for his people. What is written here that our forefathers were all under the cloud. The cloud was the presence of God in their life. Cloud by the day and fire by the night. God was guiding them through the clouds. So they have guidance from the Lord. They receive deliverance from the Lord. They witness many miraculous power and signs of God. In verse 2 says that they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud in the desert. Their leader was Moses. So as they passed through the Red Sea, that is their water baptism. It symbolized water baptism because they crossed from darkness into the light, from slavery into the freedom. So they were all baptized. They were led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit here represented by the cloud who was leading them. God was walking with them. They all ate the same spiritual food, the manna. The manna was their food. And the spiritual food here is what he means is the word of God. They have the law of God. God gives them the law. Give the law to Moses and he gives to them. So they have the spiritual food. And they drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. When the people were thirsty, God asked Moses to speak to the rock and water gushed out and they drank. They were satisfied with the spiritual food and spiritual drink. Christ was with them. God was with them. The Holy Spirit was with them. They enjoy the miracle of God. They enjoy the salvation of God. They enjoy the deliverance of God. They get all of them water baptized. They were led by the Holy Spirit. When you hear all that and when you read all that, you can conclude that God was so happy with them. But here, in verse 5, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. In spite of all that, God was not happy with them. Why God was not happy? We will read and we will discuss. How we know God was not happy? Because they did not enter the promised land. Their bodies scattered over the desert. And here we are. As we read this passage, what is the value of this passage to us? You see here, these things happened to them as example and were written down as warning for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. These are warning. Those people, they were believers, they were followers of God. And here, how we relay the message to our life now. People, they go to church, they read the Bible, they speak about the promises of God, they speak about the Word of God, they get involved with a lot of spiritual and church activities. But the question, is God happy with you? What's the question here? Why God was not happy with them? When you read that, God was with them and miracles and spiritual food and spiritual drinks and everything available. And God was doing wonders for them. Christ was with them. They were all received water baptism. Then why God is not happy? In verse 6. Now these things occurred as example to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. They walk with God. They receive the promises of God. They enjoy the blessings of God. They get water baptized. They went to church. They read the Bible. But their hearts was not with God. Their heart, those people at the time of Moses, their hearts was set on evil desire, on evil things. Now hear the message. You may do all the ritual things that the people can see clearly you are Christian by the ritual you are practicing. But your heart is away from the Lord, because you have set your heart on evil things. The Lord say, those people, they worship me in vain. They honor me with their lips, but their heart are far away from me. Now here, as a Christian, God is not the God of the temple, is not God of buildings. He is not God of the show off. He is God of the heart. God wants your heart fully unto Him. You may do a lot of things. Externally seem that you are in complete obedience to the Lord. But the fact here, if your heart is not with God, then God will not be happy with you. What they did wrong, those people at the time of Moses. And let us read and discuss and how we relate that to our life today. In verse 7 say, do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and get up to indulge in pagan revelry. Here, when Moses went up to the mountain to meet the Lord, the people said to Aaron, this fellow Moses, we don't know what happened to him. Make for us a God so that we can worship. So he told them, bring your golds. He melt the golds and he make out of it a golden calf. And the people, they dance for it and they sacrifice offering to it. And they worship it. They involve in pagan revelry. And they forget the Lord who brought them out of Egypt. Now when the Lord brought them out of Egypt, He granted them a favor that the Egyptians, they give them gold and articles, and they give them They give them jewels and other expensive things. Now these expensive things they had that they have received, they did not use it for the glory of God. They use it to make an idol to satisfy their own evil desire. Now here, as a born again Christian in the 21st century, how we can apply that? Yes, you need to come out from idol worship. Worshipping saints or false religion or worshipping Mary. This is very clear. We don't use photos for our worship or images or idols. God said don't worship idols. But what are more we can speak about this matter? Now God had to bless you much with money and effort and qualifications and jobs. Now all these resources that God give you, how you are employing them into the kingdom of God? Are these things are serving God or what the Lord has given you is serving your own ambitions and evil desires? Many people, many of you, you may do externally good things, but the motive of the heart is wrong. Why you do it? What is your ambition? What is your plan? As you know very well what God wants you to do and you don't do it, then you are worshipping idols. You invest what the Lord has given you in a wrong direction. We'll go to the next point. Verse 8, he says, we should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. The first point we say, don't use what God give you to satisfy your ambition. And don't do your own. And don't follow your own will. The second point here, sexual immorality. We know very well that any sex outside the marital life is adultery. Even premarital sex before marriage is adultery. Even you are going to marry that man or woman, you should keep yourself pure until the day of wedding. Sexual immorality even involve pornography, involve also lust in the heart. When you look to a woman lustfully in your eyes, you commit adultery in your heart. Sexual immorality also involve sexual perversion, man with man, woman with woman, or man with animals. Sexual immorality also involve and include divorce, because once you get divorced, you cause the other partner to fall into adultery. That is all part of sexual immorality. How many of you have kept yourself or keeping yourself or decided to keep yourself pure? Keep yourself pure. Don't set your heart on evil things. God will not be happy with you if you do that. We as a church, we need to keep a clean atmosphere. We don't promote boyfriend and girlfriends. We don't condone divorce or promote divorce. We don't encourage people to leave their partners, because all these are forms of sexual immorality that lead to family breakdowns. Sexual immorality, you know, there is no fear of God. When you get divorced, you don't have fear of God. When you go for sex and courting and dating and all, you do all that outside the marital life, it means that you are not living in the fear of the Lord. If you have set your heart to honor God, you will find it easy for you and not doing such things. The next point, verse 9. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. Testing the Lord. They knew very well what they are doing is wrong. And they knew very well that God is in the midst of them. But still, they test the Lord. They knew He is there, but they did wrong things. And many Christians know. They know the Word of God. They know the will of God. God has spoken to them clearly. Still, they do their own. They insist to do what they want. And some of them, they say, I ask the Lord to forgive me. When you know very well God does not allow you to do this, how you still test the Lord and ask Him forgiveness? Don't wait for God's wrath. Repent. Honor God. Fear the Lord. And the Lord will deliver you. And the Lord has a good plan for you. Don't put the Lord to the test. Don't do the things that you know very well God has not asked you to do. Many people, they say, okay, I'll do that. If God does not want me to do it, He will stop me. That is putting the Lord to the test. When you know that God did not speak, then you don't go and do it. What you need to do, you need to wait. If God did not speak to you anything, don't go and do your own. Weigh what you receive by the Word of God. Go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God tells, and be directed with the Word of God. Listen to God when you are praying. Be attentive to the voice of the Lord. Don't do your own. These are warnings for us today. God had a good plan for us. You know, many people, they consider that when God is answering their prayer, that God is happy. It could be. When they will do certain things, or they will obey the Word of God partially, they feel happy because they think that God is happy with them. That could be possible. When they get water baptized, they think that God will be satisfied. Possible. But all these things, it may happen, even miracles of God, even wonders, even answer prayer, it still can all be happen while God is still not happy with you. God will be happy when you set your heart fully unto Him and quit from every sin. As you realize it is sin, you quit, then God truly is happy with you. If God is give you discipline today, if give you a punishment today for a sin, rejoice. That means God had not yet rejected you. Praise the Lord for that. Every time I get discipline from the Lord, this is my joy, because I know still that the Lord is considering me as His son, as His child. God is punishing me because He treated me as His child. And we should not test the Lord. Anything you know what is wrong, don't wait for somebody to tell you stop it. And don't wait also for God to spank you and discipline you and punish you. Correct yourself spontaneously as you hear the message today. What more they did wrong? In verse 10, and do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. They grumble against Moses. You brought us to kill us in many occasions. Every time they pass a trial and hardship, they grumble. They grumble when there was no food and God sent them manna. They grumble when they get thirsty and God make a way that they will drink water. They grumble also on Moses and they tell him that we fed them from this manna. They grumble on the provision that God had to provide for them. And here today, are you a grumbler? You keep complaining about your job, about your wife, and about your church, and about the pastor. And you keep complaining about a lot of things against the government, against the rules. You know, the point here is grumbling. Why God is upset with it? Because God has set up a certain system. While we are grumbling, we are showing that we are disobeying the discipline of God. We are not happy with God's discipline and God's provision. Certain time, God put in a certain job. That is God's will for you. You need to be accepting that. Don't grumble. God give you a certain partner. You cannot choose what you like. God choose for you where you live. Don't grumble against God. Even God allows sicknesses, trials, hardship, problematic people to come against you. God wants you to be happy and satisfied with Him. Do everything without arguing and complaining. That's what the Word of God is saying to us. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. When you grumble, it means that you are not satisfied with the will of God in your life. You are not happy to carry the cross. You are not happy to suffer for God. And that's grumbling. That is sin. Instead that you are shining, you are become darkening, you are glooming. Do not grumble. Check yourself. Are you satisfied with what God had given you? Are you grumbling against God, against His word, against His will? Check yourself well. Are you fighting against God? Some people, they find after grumbling, they find themselves they are doing their best to break the will of God, to go against the will of God. Fear the Lord and shun evil. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warning for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. These are warnings. As we read, don't think that is for those people, this message. This message is for us. We are here in the 21st century. This message is very applicable to us. God is warning us. God does not want you to perish. God wants you to enter eternal life and to live with God forever. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Don't think that you are going to church, reading the Bible, bringing the tithes, that will cover the rest of your sin. No. Be careful very well. If you have sin in your life, you need to repent. That sin will bring you to judgment. In verse 13, he says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Some people, they say, why God allow all these things? Why God allow all these temptations that we may fall and sin? No. God is not allowing that. God had put you in a situation, an atmosphere, that He knew your capability, that you can resist if you set your heart on good things. Now here, God will not give you more than what you bear. God is not going to tempt you. God only just had put you in a situation and circumstances, and He had given you the ability to resist and say no. But it's up to you now to decide. Up to you now to act. It's in your hand to escape immorality. It's in your hand to do the will of God. It's in your hand to not submit yourself to your ambition. It's in your hand to not, that you will not test the Lord. You will not put the Lord to the test. It's in your hand that you will be happy and satisfied with what you have and not grumble to God, against God. Now it's in your hand here today. Now, there are good points here we learn. We learn that ritual things will not make God happy, but obedience and full devotion of God, of the heart toward God, full obedience to the Lord. Check your heart very carefully. Is your heart fully to God, or half to God and half for you, or all your heart is not for God? Are you doing God's will? Is God the Lord over your heart, or you are the Lord? Who is managing your life? Yourself or God? Check yourself. These are the points, and don't be deceived. God had not put on you more than what you can bear. No. It is just what you can manage, and it is your decision to follow God. Don't put yourself into troubles. Don't look for temptation. Don't search for temptation. Use all the opportunities to escape and go away from sin. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 say, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So here what is written is to teach us. We need to endure, we need to persevere. And the scripture we read is to encourage us. Today we are encouraged. God had a good things for me. I don't need to do wrong. I need to be happy with the manna that God provides for me daily, because that is His will. I need to be happy with God's plan. I need to be happy when God say to me no. I need to be happy when God blocks certain things, because God know what is the best for me. The point here that you must realize, take away any self-righteousness. Some they think that they are beyond sin and they are holy. Check yourself. Are you truly in line with God and with His word? Or you are about to fall? Be careful and check yourself. Let's bow our head and pray. Tell Him, Lord, if you know your sin, tell Him, Lord, I repent today. I repent. And if you are not aware, tell Him, Lord, show me my wrong. Show me my shortcomings and my mistakes and all my sins. And lead me, Lord, into repentance. I am willing, Lord, to follow You. I don't want to fall. I want to be with You, Lord, in heaven forever. Guide me and guard me, O Lord. And lead me, O God, in the way everlasting. Lord, I realize that is my heart should be with You, Lord. And here, I invite You, God, to be the Lord over my life. Lord, I pray and I thank You for Your word to us. I pray that everyone who have prayed earnestly from his heart and repented, restore, O God, and deliver and guide and guard and protect, O Lord, and watch her, watch over his life and her life. Lord, know this message and let me reach those who are far away from you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Master. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Bring the message to those who are willing to hear your words. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Christ's name. Amen and amen.